WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program here on Monday morning, and 508-996-0500. Just very quickly before I go to the phones, you know, we were talking this morning about the homicide that happened in New Bedford, the murder, the suspect is being charged with murder, that happened over the weekend, the fourth homicide in New Bedford this month. And I just saw something pop up on Channel 12 on the TV that said that a homicide that happened in Providence was the city's sixth of the year. So six this year in Providence, four this month in New Bedford. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Welcome back, Mr. Weisberg.
Thank you very much.
I know you had a good time. I saw the food.
Yeah.
Some of it anyway. It's still too hot out here for me. I'm outside and it's hot. I don't care. I want 50 degrees, you know?
Well, it might cool off a little bit later because we're going to get some pretty good thunderstorms coming in.
Yeah, but I want the cold without the storm.
Soon enough. Just a couple weeks away from that.
I got to have it cold. I thrive when it's cold out. So anyway, now, okay. I heard what you said about Vance and Bob Kennedy. Listen, I don't know if you remember, a while back I said it before, Bob needs to run away because they're going to kill him. And now he's hanging around with Trump. I fear for the guy, but let me say he is so brave. What a brave man. He needs to just go away. Be with his wife, his full-grown kids. I know they're grown up. He's probably a grandfather. I don't even know. He needs to get away from Trump because he's going to be considered a traitor to his party, you know. And they're going to get him for it. They're going to get him, and I fear for it. Now, when you said, I think I heard it, you said something about Vance, and maybe he'll be, like, replaced by Kennedy. That is the worst thing. And I have something to say about Vance. Now, I don't know why, but when I first heard, when it came out that Trump chose him, I don't know what it is, because I don't even know the guy, hardly at all. I don't feel right about him, and I can't say why. But I believe for some reason, also that I can't explain, that he belongs there where he is. He belongs where he is for some reason, and it'll come out maybe way later when I'm dead and gone. I don't know. I don't feel good about him, but I believe he's supposed to be there. And I think Bob ought to take a walk. I'm sorry. I love that man. I really do. I guess he woke up. He realized what's been. He's been woke a long time. He knows what's going on with our government and our leaders in our country. And look how brave he is. I'm telling you, they're going to take a shot at him. And God forgive if they happen to take two shots when Trump and Kennedy are together. That scares the living hell out of me.
Well, they've got some. So if they're outside, they have that, you know, they're putting that bulletproof glass around Trump now just to be safe. So they're a little bit better protected than before.
They're doing that all the time now?
And it's supposed to be for all the outdoor ones. That's what they were saying.
And the Dems who complain, they don't want the wall, they don't want, they're building a big wall over there so they don't get hurt, huh? You see them putting that up?
Well,
look around. I'll find it. I'll send it to you. They're putting a wall around, wherever is it, the Capitol or the White House or something. They're doing something. People who claim they want the border open, they don't want no wall, but here they are, building a wall so they can be protected. It's a laughing joke.
So
real laughing joke.
The wall they built
anyway,
around the wall that they put up around the convention center.
Maybe that's it. I'm confused about where it is, but I know they're doing something because I saw it. There was a thing that came up in my feed, and I seen it. I said, look at that. They don't want us to protect ourselves with a wall, but look what they're doing. They have to protect their lives. Oh yeah, real fast because I know I used all my time. What is your feelings about Vance?
I think that he's a very strange person, and I think
he's a little
I think that it was an odd pick because it was, I mean, and I guess, you know, again, when they picked, when Trump picked J.D. Vance, the race was a different race at that point. But I think that was more of a, let me get somebody that's just like me instead of somebody that, that balances out the ticket kind of thing. So I think that that's why it was a weird pick to me. But
I mean, really, it came out of nowhere, didn't it?
No, I mean, he had been mentioned. He had been mentioned quite a bit as one of the as one of the options, but he just, I thought that he brought the least to the table for, as some of the other names that were bandied around.
I know you're not for, I know you're not for Trump, but I mean, if you were, who would you choose for the vice president for Trump? If you were, I know you're, I know.
I don't know. It was hard in the position that he was in because a lot of the people that would have drawn in other Republican voters were right. Of the never Trump mindset. So it was hard for him. Right. He had to find somebody that that he thought he could run with, but that would also maybe bring in some new voters. And I think the Vance pick, the advantage of Vance is youth. I think that that's kind of what he was looking for to pull in with some younger people. So I think he was in a tough spot because there's no, you know, it wouldn't be like just say, for example, if Kamala Harris had picked Bernie Sanders, you know, you say, well, that's going to bring in all the Bernie bros that wouldn't have voted for her, yeah. maybe. So I think I think that the way he could get people that he wouldn't normally get to vote for him would be to have RFK Jr. As the right. vice presidential pick.
Well, even though, like I said, I don't know why I have that feeling that I don't think Vance ought to be there, but
you want to feel, you want to feel weirder about Vance? Go watch the video of him at the donut shop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
is it up anywhere? Where would I find it?
Oh, it was all over the place. Yeah, just type in J.D. Vance donut shop video, and you'll see it. I mean, it's just the guy had no, it's like he didn't know what a donut was. It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen.
Maybe he's an alien from space. All I know is it should not be Bob. I wish that Bob would just push it away. I, honest to God, I don't want to hear anything happen. I mean, his whole family, everything they went through and all, he knows he comes from a family where they've been shot at, I mean, killed and everything else. I mean, how brave can you be to do something like this? He needs to go away and be with his family. I mean, he's not young either. And he's probably not a very well man either. What's going to happen after? Because Trump can't run again. What's going to happen with Bob after that if Bob was in there?
No,
run for president?
No, I think Kennedy's pretty, I think he's relatively healthy. I mean, he has that issue where, you know, he loses the ability to speak. But that's I don't think that causes any other issues. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen him with a shirt off.
No, no, I haven't.
He's pretty jacked. I guess he took steroids.
Really?
But yeah.
Oh, I know he takes care of himself. He's a decent human being the way around.
He did it with steroids, but yeah.
That, you know, they were killing Kennedys, and you know what's beyond me? That they never took a shot at Ted unless I fell asleep when it happened. They never took a shot at Ted Kennedy, especially after what he did, too.
There was an assassination attempt planned against Ted Kennedy.
Oh, there was?
Yeah, but it didn't get carried out. I'll have to look it up, but I want to say that there... Chris McCarthy will know. We'll ask him when he comes in.
All right.
But I thought that there was a plot that they had uncovered. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. All right.
All right. Talk to you later. I thought, for some reason, I seem to think that there was something that they were concerned about during the 1980 presidential campaign. But Chris will probably remember better than I do. I'm just trying to remember from when I took that course at UMass Dartmouth, Political Assassinations in America. Still the best college course I ever took. I took some good courses. There was a lot that I enjoyed. Some that I did not like at all. When I took my first political science class, I had a very nice professor, but I slept during a lot of those classes because I was working to be able to pay for college and all the mostly scholarships, but I was working to, you know, have money to go to college so I could afford to get there every day. And I would sometimes doze off in that class, and I got a B+. And when she was telling everybody their grade, she's like, I gave you a B+. You earned an A-, but I couldn't give you an A- in good conscience, knowing that you slept through most of the classes. And I looked at her and I said, I'm fine with that. But that was a very fun course. Then Political Assassinations was good. I took a class in European history. Trying to think of what else I enjoyed. My Shakespeare class with Dr. Bobrick. I also took Ancient to World Renaissance Literature with Dr. Bobrick, but I don't remember that course, nearly as much fun as the Shakespeare one was. But anyway, yeah. Political Assassination in America, taught by the late, great Phil Melanson. 508-996-0500. And by the way, that's not me that's saying that Vance could be replaced by Kennedy. That's just something that's going around in the media and on social media, that Kennedy's getting something in exchange for this endorsement because he was shopping the endorsement around. And you don't do that unless you're trying to get something in return. But here's the thing. I don't think it's going to have an effect one way or the other. No matter who he endorsed, I don't think it's going to make a difference. He was pulling in like 5% of the vote nationally. And he wasn't on every state's ballot, and they're still going to keep him on the ballot in some states. It's weird. The whole situation is weird. I mean, I guess, yeah, some of the ballots are already printed, so. And then his wife, Cheryl Hines, the actress who starred in Curb Your Enthusiasm, put out a statement where she said, you know, my husband has decided to suspend his presidency. I hope that was a typo. And that's and Kennedy said that himself. He's suspending the campaign. He's not ending the campaign. What? Okay. Anyway, 508-996-0500. There's another story that I wanted to share with you. This is a terrible story that happened over the weekend. So they had the Kenny Chesney concerts at Gillette over the weekend. And there was an incident where a guy stole a car from the parking lot of Gillette Stadium during this concert. His name is Michael Escolas, 42, from Oxford. He stole a Jeep Grand Cherokee belonging to a Vermont couple from the Gillette parking lot while the Kenny Chesney concert was going on. And then after he stole the car, he's traveling down Route 1 at a high rate of speed when he crashed the Jeep Grand Cherokee into a Nissan Altima that was occupied by a family stopped at a red light. All six people inside the Nissan, a mother and father with their four children, suffered serious injuries and were taken to area hospitals. A 10-year-old boy was later pronounced dead. That's odd. That's a lot of people for a Nissan Altima. There's only three seat belts in the back. But anyway, I don't want to, you know, it's not about them. It's about this guy who slammed into them after stealing a car. He was escorted to the state police barracks in Foxborough on Sunday. And Channel 5's Ted Wayman asked him, "Sir, do you have anything to say to the family that was in the other car?" And Escola said, "I'm sorry, I have a 10-year-old boy too." So there were three other cars involved in the crash as well, but nobody was injured in those vehicles. Escolas will be arraigned today on charges of motor vehicle manslaughter, OUI, larceny of a motor vehicle, and associated charges. And he remains in custody. So just terrible story. A family minding their own business, not doing anything, and this guy steals a car and slams into them. I don't know how you think stealing a car from Gillette Stadium is a great idea anyway. Where are you going to go? You're going to go out on Route 1? It's usually packed with traffic even during the concerts. Horrible. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you missed the top local story this morning, there was another homicide in New Bedford over the weekend. An uncle allegedly killing his nephew. They got into a fight, and the uncle allegedly stabbed the nephew. The suspect's name is Juan Padilla Santana. The victim's name is Emil Padilla Corsino. And the suspect is a resident of Puerto Rico. Already seeing comments about illegals. I have to remind you, a Puerto Rican citizen is an American citizen. But just a fourth weekend in a row in which somebody was killed in New Bedford through violence. And again, the last 2 weeks were crimes of passion. So it's not as if these were, you know, connected or related or there's any danger to the public. But does that make it any less concerning? I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. We'll take some more of your calls coming up after the news. And we'll take your app chat messages and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Got an app chat message from Jeff in Fall River who says, Tim Walz is a strange pick for VP and definitely more of a weirdo than J.D. Vance. I'm pretty sure Tim Walz can order a donut, though. I think he's seen a donut before. And if you haven't seen that video, you can check it out. It's, I don't know if it's the donuts that threw him off or just having to make small talk with the average working person that he claims to represent. But I don't find Tim Walz to be weird at all. I don't think there's anything weird about him. I think he's an endearing guy. And I think that he's an addition to the campaign as opposed to where Vance, as I said before, it was a strange pick because I don't think he brought anything to the ticket, except for maybe, you know, that the youth side of it. But really, anybody was going to be younger. I'm not, you know, calling Donald Trump old like he did so often at Joe Biden, but anybody was going to be younger. So I think you could have found somebody that would have balanced things out and brought some people over to the ticket, but I guess they couldn't find a candidate that could do that. They couldn't find somebody that was willing to sign on that could do that. But we can talk more again, 508-996-0500. Right now, though, Phil Devitt is waiting to give you all the news in the WBSM newsroom.
The Harris and Trump campaigns kick into high gear this week. More free COVID tests on the way. And it's a special day for man's best friend.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign says it has raised more than $500 million since President Biden dropped out of the race, including $40 million since her acceptance at the DNC last week. Harris and running mate Tim Walz kick off a bus tour in Georgia on Wednesday. The GOP campaign is in Michigan, with former President Trump speaking at the National Guard Association conference in Detroit today, and running mate J.D. Vance in Big Rapids on Tuesday. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders says the United States should cut off aid to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government. The Vermont Independent telling ABC's This Week the U.S. should not send Israel aid while its military is killing innocent Palestinians and creating a humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza.
They certainly had a right to defend themselves against the atrocious Hamas attack. They never had the right, do not have the right, to go to war against the entire Palestinian people.
While he acknowledged the Biden administration is taking a different stance on the issue by continuing to send aid, Sanders said he hopes that a potential Kamala Harris administration would change policy. Donald Trump wants an in-depth review of the assassination attempt against him last month. At a rally in Arizona Friday, the former president said if he's reelected, he would form an independent committee on presidential assassination attempts. He added that the committee would be required to release all remaining documents on John F. Kennedy's assassination. The Biden administration bringing back a new round of free COVID-19 tests. At the end of September, people will be able to order up to four tests by mail. The tests detect newer COVID variants and will be effective through the end of the year. Dr. Anthony Fauci is expected to make a full recovery after being hospitalized with West Nile virus. The 83-year-old former director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases told CBS News he's out of the hospital and at home recuperating. Americans without college degrees say they have fewer close friends than those who do. Michael Kastner reports. I'm so
lonely. A new survey by the Survey Center on American Life found that almost a quarter of adults without degrees said they had no close friends. Only 10% of those with degrees said the same. Around 30% of adults say they felt lonely in the past week, and 10% say they're lonely every day. I'm Michael Kastner.
You'd have to be Taylor Swift's friend to be invited to her Rhode Island house. The global superstar was spotted on the balcony of her Westerly home over the weekend following the European leg of her Eras tour. She was there with boyfriend Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs and friends, including actors Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. But who needs celebrity pals when you have a dog? Today is National Dog Day, and as Bree Tennis reports, we have more dogs in our homes than ever before.
There are 65.1 million households in the U.S. with at least one dog. That's 40% of the population. The U.S. Census says right now there are more dogs in homes than children, and that's a first. 33% of millennials have a dog, 25% of Gen X, and 24% of baby boomers all share space with a furry critter. So today, take Fido for a walk and give extra belly rubs because dogs are awesome. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
Well, that's a wrap on the Patriots' preseason 2010 defeat against the Washington Commanders last night. The team kicks off the regular season schedule on September 8th, facing off against the Cincinnati Bengals. Red Sox falling short against the Diamondbacks on Sunday, losing by 7-5. But Boston next hosts the Toronto Blue Jays for a four-game series beginning tonight, resuming a game, by the way, postponed in June. And that means Sox catcher Danny Jansen, who used to be on the Blue Jays, will finish the game for the other side, the Sox. That's the first time this is happening in MLB history.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody. Starting out this Monday morning with quiet weather, mostly cloudy skies, temperature in the mid-60s. Turns unsettled as we head into the noon afternoon time hour with the potential of thunderstorm activity. Some could be on the severe side, triggering heavy rainfall, hail, and strong gusty winds. Temperature in the mid-70s. This unsettled weather will die down with a sunset overnight. Conditions become quieter. Area of fog as we head into the overnight hours. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome back in, and I guess it won't be a matter of trust for New Bedford middle schoolers when it comes to having their cell phones in school, because they're going to have their phones locked up. And both the Standard Times and New Bedford Light have a story today. New Bedford Light's a little bit more in depth. But the story is about the use of these phones or the use of these devices that will keep kids from being able to use their phone while in school. I shouldn't say today. The New Bedford Light one was last week. But those in New Bedford High School will still be able to use their phones when they previously said they were going to put those in these Yonder pouches as well. But they're saying now that that won't be the blanket policy. That'll be the policy for anybody who violates the cell phone policy. Anybody who's caught using their phone during the day will be then told they have to put it in one of these Yonder pouches. But one middle school will use the pouches. Roosevelt Middle School will use the Yonder pouches for its almost 800 students. But you lock your phone in the pouch, and then you carry the locked phone in the pouch with you all day. And then when it's time to leave, you pass it over this magnetic device, and it unlocks your phone. While Normandin Middle School students will use lock boxes in the student's home room, they'll leave those phones in there until dismissal. And kids that have a medical issue will be allowed to keep their phones on them. So it's going to be a big change for a lot of kids. Other schools are putting these Yonder pouches into effect as well. So it'll be a big change for a lot of kids. And you'll hear about it pretty quickly from them when they start school. Probably, what, this week? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, my friend.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, my football team, we won again this weekend, 38-6. We're on a 34-game winning streak within our league, and we've only our last loss of a game was actually two full seasons ago in the national championship. And the team we beat is the second-rated team, so even if we go to them in 3 weeks and we lose, we still have home field advantage. So kicking butt and not taking any names.
No, not bad. All right, not bad at all.
We're gonna possibly get him in the Paul Santos. I'm gonna go by there tonight. And when he was covering the other day for you, and I called in and I used to go and support that. But works well. Hey, last night on the way home, I went by Gas Express, and mm-hmm. Victor was actually there late at night. And I got some crispy, crunchy chicken and brought it in. And a couple of my friends had never had it before. They went right back across the street and got some themselves.
There you go. Yeah, see, that chicken cannot be beat.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely. I even got the potato wedges as a little snack for this morning. I warmed them up.
Yeah, well, they go great with some scrambled eggs, yeah. Just use them as home fries.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Likewise. Have a good day. Bye-bye. And 508-996-0500, if you want to call in and chime in. And that's I hear that from more people, is how good that crispy, crunchy chicken is at Gas Express. And they all say the same thing. I didn't believe you, the gas station chicken would be good, but it is. So check it out if you haven't already. I'm just taking a look here at the story about these cell phone pouches. And also, you know, Jim Phillips had Steve Furtado Jr., who is the new executive director at Global Learning Public Charter School. They are also going to be using the Yonder pouches. And the idea is that by removing the phones from the kids' attention span, they'll focus more on learning. Parents are concerned, well, what happens if I need my kid during the day? I guess you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. You're going to have to call the office and have them page the kid. That's how it worked when a lot of us were in school, right? 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
How you doing?
Not bad. So getting to the cell phone thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Ken Pittman actually brought this up maybe about a month ago. And he made a good point. Back when you and I were growing up, we weren't allowed to bring comic books to entertain ourselves. These kids shouldn't be allowed to bring cell phones to entertain themselves.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what they're doing. You know, we get in trouble for passing notes. They're texting each other.
Right.
So eliminating it, I think, is a great idea. I think it should be across the board.
You know, and parents are worried because they say, well, what happens if something happens in the school and I can't, you know, my kid can't call 911 or something? Well, it's not, first of all, there's very small risk of anything happening, but
right.
Teachers still have their phones. The school office still has a phone? Well,
right. So what happened? I mean, these parents are the ones who grew up without cell phones. And now they're worried about kids without cell phones? So how do you
Some. It depends. I mean, you've got parents who were born in the 2000s now that have kids in school.
Oh, yeah. I forgot I'm that old. Yeah. but, yeah, I mean, you think about it, it just makes sense. You know, Ken brought up, you know, Mad Magazine. You know, we couldn't bring a Mad Magazine because if we did, the teacher would come over, close it, and take it himself. And one of my teachers actually had, like, an old drawer that he used to throw everything in. And we wouldn't even get it back till the end of the school year, never mind the end of the school day.
I told the story to some friends over the weekend about the time the teacher took away my Hulkamania headband that my parents got for me when they went to wrestling because it was a distraction. Everybody in the classroom wanted to wear the Hulk Hogan headband.
Right. I mean, we couldn't even wear hats. I mean, I don't think you still can, but you couldn't wear hats in school.
Right. No hats, no jackets. Right.
Yeah. All that stuff. Even hoodies. You know, you shouldn't be able to wear hoodies, in my opinion. You know, because the hoods can become a distraction at a certain age. I mean, once you get into middle school, it's not a distraction. But, you know, little kids up to like fifth grade, they can become, you know, a little nuisance. Newsom's the guy over in California trying to be president.
I was trying to think of a witty connection there, but I drew a blank. But, yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem with the phones is that what the parents are arguing for, being able to reach the kid at any time, is exactly the argument why the educators are making why they shouldn't have them, because they can use them at any time.
Exactly. And then if the parent is afraid of even like themselves, if they need to get in touch with the kid, back in 1998, the parent would call the main line, and then you'd get paged down to the office.
Right.
You know, from your class. And that's how it should be. That's really, I mean, that's, I don't know, seems like common sense. Because a lot of kids, they find their way. I mean, Snapchat is the worst one. They just text back and forth, and they just ignore the teacher pretty much completely. And I bet there's a big correlation between, you know, kids' access to social media during school and the drop in school grades and how the kids are doing.
I
guarantee you that there's a good correlation there.
All these kids are probably, you know, they've all got Chromebooks and stuff in school now. They've got access to email. If you need your kid, email them.
Yeah, that too. Exactly. The other point that you touched on was RFK.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at this endorsement two ways. One, he's trying to position himself up into getting into the cabinet position. But with that being said, he is a far lefty. Far, far lefty, and he's endorsing Trump. I think that's a big, big get for Trump, to be honest with you.
Well, now,
I would like to see RFK in two positions, the CIA director or the Health and Human Services, the HHS director.
So you want a guy who believes in vaccine conspiracy theories to be in charge of America's public health?
Well, no, maybe not that exact position, but somebody that's more in line with our food sources. You know, maybe the USDA, or they have, you know, something like that. Something more in correlation with healthy foods, healthy diets, and health and you know, healthy nutrition in our school system, on top of just in general. You know, become more like, to be honest with you, become more like Europe, where our food is more basic and less chemically driven. You know, if you look at all the other stuff.
See, here's the thing is you got a lot of people who are like, oh, yeah, RFK Jr., he's going to bring a lot of, you know, liberals over to Trump. Here's the thing. Liberals don't like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Most people think that he's a clown. Most people don't ascribe to anything that he's putting out there, except for the same extremists that like the extreme policies that MAGA puts out. So I think that that's what you're going to see. You're going to just see an echo chamber with just a different bend to it. But no, there's nobody in the Democratic Party that's a fan of RFK Jr., or else he would have had more of a shake.
Well, I think the 5% that he was getting was like Green Party candidates, to be honest with you, like people on that far left.
Yeah, so
you know, the Jill Steins.
You're going to get
5%.
They'll find somebody else in that ilk to vote for.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is 5% is no, you know, small thing to shake at. You know, I think that's a significant voter population. I mean, it's better than any other third-party candidate has ever gotten. Chase Oliver of the Libertarians, I don't think, is even scratching 0.1%. So to garnish as a third party, garnish 5% in a two-party system is pretty hefty. And it's because people were, you know, put off with Joe Biden, and people were put off with Trump. And I think my concern with RFK was he called Kamala, and she didn't answer the phone. My concern was he playing both sides and trying to get a cabinet position in either one? And whoever offered him the cabinet position, he would have endorsed. That's my concern with RFK.
That's what it's being portrayed as in the media, that they think that was what happened.
But I think Kamala should have answered the phone. I think that was small on her part.
Well, I mean, I don't know their dynamic. I don't know their relationship. But if he was calling and you thought that was the reason why he was calling, maybe it's easier not to take the call than it is to tell him no.
Well, how many other calls does she get where people are trying to position themselves for other positions in her cabinet? Secretary of State, Department of Defense. All these people are trying to get in her good graces. Why not RFK? Why was RFK different? That was my concern.
Because it'll be people that are already, you know, of the same platform, the same idea.
I mean, RFK Jr., I believe, is in favor of single-payer health care. You don't get any more lefty than that.
I think what concerns them is that they know that that's what he is, that he's, you know, he's an endorsement for hire. I think that's what it is. It has nothing to do with whether or not they would want to have him. It's that they just don't feel that he has any integrity, that it's worth even having him on there.
I mean, you could say that about any cabinet position in any candidate.
Yeah, but you can say that about a lot of candidates who actually get votes. But the problem with RFK Jr. is people don't like him. The only people that liked him were people that didn't want to vote for Trump, but didn't want to vote for Joe Biden either. That's who that 5% is.
I agree. No, I'll agree with you on that one. I'll agree with you on that one. I just think that RFK could actually bring some clout to the anti-establishment crowd, even on the left.
If
it's a razor-thin margin at the end, he could be the tipping vote. You know, a half a 1% or a 1% vote going and sticking with RFK, like his actual base, I think could tip the vote that way.
We'll see. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break. But you have a good day. Take it easy. I got to take this break. We'll be back in just a few moments. A few moments remaining in the show. I've got another break I've got to take as well. But I want to remind you all, if you didn't hear about it earlier in the day, we have a new contest up for you at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. We have this week, we are giving away tickets to see James Taylor at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. It's a great venue. If you've never been there to see a show, it's a great spot. It's right outside of Fenway Park. It's easy to get to if you're taking the subway in. There's a parking garage right across the street. I mean, it's a great venue. The only catch is the tickets that we have are standing room only. So if you have the ability to stand for a couple of hours, then you want to enter. If it's something that you can't do, then you might want to wait for a different contest. But it's James Taylor and his all-star band at MGM Music Hall in Fenway. We have two shows, September 9th and 10th. We're giving away September 9th tickets to this week. And then next week, we'll give away September 10th tickets. So you have your chance to win tickets to see James Taylor and his all-star band at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. All you have to do is go to WBSM.com and the WBSM app, enter in all your information, and you might be the winner. It's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. It is the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. They're the proud sponsor of Tim's Tickets all summer and fall long here on WBSM. Got to take one final break. We will be right back. And, he got used to that after a couple of days, but then there was the guy who insisted on singing at the top of his lungs Friday morning at 7:30 in the morning. I was like, come on, man. There's people here who are, like, on vacation. But the rooms look great, so they're doing a good job. The most important thing to me in a hotel room, the shower. The shower and the water pressure. If you have terrible water pressure, I'm never going back again. And they have great water pressure there at the Kuwaitan Casino up in the Upper Peninsula of California.